This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Brother and Sister Rewatch. I am Kevin here with my sister and co-pilot Mary. How you doing, Bear?
Hey, everybody.
Yeah, we are back this week. It's a big week. We're closing out season 3 of The Office with episode 23 of the third season.
The Job!
Yes, and it's going to be a long one.
It is a long one. So the season finale, I kind of like that this season had 23 episodes because they're nicely rounded out, the last episode being an hour long.
And I got to
for
cover
the podcast.
It. Exactly. I got to be the one who scribes it.
Yeah. Exactly. I got to just, you know, sit back, enjoy, and notate on what I enjoyed.
Uh-huh. And
which I'm sure the listeners are very happy I was not the one to transcribe this.
A 45-minute equals a two-hour podcast, yeah. So before we do it, I want to ask your rough idea of what you thought of it. Expectations versus what you saw in the finished product.
Okay, so we already, like, the job. So we already know, one, Michael got an interview. We found out in the beach,
yep.
The beach games, that Karen and Jim also had interviews. We know it's a corporate position. I mean, so we know that David Wallace, okay, I have, like, a weird fangirly crush on David Wallace. I can't explain it.
Does he have, like, that mature guy thing going on?
Can't explain it, but every time I see him or he's on screen, like, I swoon for David Wallace.
Were you, like, in Jurassic World when he showed up as, like, the dad? Where
yeah.
Like, get a divorce,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was like, yes, yes, my plan. No, like, I just love anything that involves David
Wallace.
Very strange. Because
I've never heard anybody fangirl like
him. I know, but, like, as soon as I saw him this episode, I was like, David Wallace!
You know what I noticed about him that I never noticed before? He's very of the time, like 12 years ago. The glasses were very inside, like those small ones that barely cover your
yep.
actual pupils. Like those wearing, like his suit and shirt are kind of baggy.
Yep.
They're not like fit to form.
They're,
and everything.
Yeah, they're not fit at all.
Like watching this, it was like, man, the fashion of this time, like Jim's shit is
God,
all baggy.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like in the late 90s with like everybody was wearing like
no,
fucking
it was
zoot suits.
2000s.
But yeah, like everything wasn't fit to wear like trim and everything.
Now it is.
Yeah, yeah, it's very different. It's
yeah.
like something I picked up on
but,
like, watching this episode.
I mean, I was just really excited because I knew David Wallace would be involved. And like I said, I can't explain it. It's like because he's so straight, but he also knows like, all right, this is like the scene where Mike, and I know we'll get into it, but like when Michael shows up at the incorrect day and Michael's trying to set him up to make it sound like Michael's the best guy for the job. Like he looks at the camera and he gives like, yeah, okay. Like, I don't know. I just, something about David Wallace.
Because
heart go pitter patter.
So far from what we've seen, he is something that The Office doesn't have, and that's a straight man.
Yes.
The Office doesn't have a straight man because everybody has, like, I don't think you were. It was me and Oz talking the one episode about how they all have, like, their one dimension
their
that's cranked
quirks.
Up. It's all cranked up to 11.
Mm-hmm.
David Wallace is, like, a normal guy that they all, like, they kind of play off of in a way. And because like Jim is the prankster,
maybe that's why I love him so much because he's normal.
Yeah, he absorbs all the like the insanity from the other characters. So yeah, I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking forward to it in a way, but I wasn't at the other. The time is always an issue for me, and it's not because I'm lazy and I don't want to put the time in. Like we put the time into this podcast, like obviously, like
oh yeah,
it's a labor of love. We love doing it, so that's not the issue. The issue is that I feel like sometimes the time is not used wisely, or they just don't have enough ideas to fill the time properly.
Yeah.
Like, it's not as entertaining as it would be if it was just cut down.
Yeah, and I feel like we're gonna get into that as, like, I mean, one of my notes for this episode was the beginning was a lot of filler.
Yeah. Well, another thing is, we don't know, like, we talked in the last episode about what is and what isn't
deleted
scenes.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was aired like this because it is a season finale
yeah.
or not. And it, of course, it has the big ending,
yes.
where everybody's been waiting for. So you don't know if like they built up, like gave an hour to this show. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm too lazy to research that part. So yeah, there is a bit of laziness in it, I guess. But let's get to it.
Yeah, let's open it up, dude. And the cold open goes to Kevin.
Oh, should we recap last week's episode?
Yeah, we absolutely should.
Yeah,
so last week was Women's Appreciation Day.
Yep.
Well, not day, but essentially,
Michael made it that
yeah.
day.
Yeah, Phyllis got flashed in the parking lot by a man with his thing on his map. So she's traumatized. Michael then pretends to stick his out of his fly.
His finger, like yeah, a
his
penis.
Finger looked like a penis yeah, coming out
like
of his
fly. Like a member.
Exactly. He yells at Toby, "Let's see your penis."
that's what you highlight.
That's a highlight.
Yeah.
But basically, like, Michael tries to make it like, I have a mother and a lover. I appreciate women. And he tries to make this whole day about women. He ends up taking the females of the office to the Steamtown Mall.
Yeah.
Angela wears doll clothes. And the girls kind of talk Michael and talk to him about his relationship and how unhappy he is with Jan. And
they talk him into breaking up.
Yeah, he decides to break up with her. Which he does via voicemail as Jan is walking into the office.
And we find a lot of weird shit out about Jan, too.
Oh, none she of has it... a schoolgirl fantasy of Michael dressed as a schoolgirl?
And she videotapes them, and she has a shrink. Like, mm-hmm. all this is coming out slowly, but we don't see it firsthand with Jan. It's yeah. all through Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Then what was the second one?
Beach Games. Beach where games. Michael now knows he has an interview with corporate for a position. And he decides that the best way to choose who will take over his position is by having them all go to Lake Scranton, which does not have a beach.
No beach. No beach.
And perform in these games, like Olympic well, like Survivor-style yeah. games. Andy gets lost on the lake in his sumo wrestling costume. Dwight has his team Gryffindor, gets a thumbs up. Jim calls his name Voldemort, and he gets a gold star, and Stanley is the blue team,
because he doesn't want to be yes. right out of spite.
And basically, like, this all comes out, and then everybody's in the game. But then, the finale, Michael has everybody doing a coal walk, which nobody does, because that's stupid.
Except for Dwight.
He collapses. Who then, yes, he falls down on the coals and says, "Give me the job! Give me the job!" and so... While they're doing this, Pam is, like, trying to be involved, but Michael has her on note duty during beach day.
Yeah.
So, she does the coal walk, and she has, like, adrenaline, and she's all pumped up. She goes over to Jim in the circle of everybody and tells him how much she misses his friendship, and she just wants her friend back. And that's essentially it.
Well, she says more than that. She canceled her wedding for him.
Yeah, that's a summarized version.
Yeah.
But,
it's
yeah.
funny, you summarized the most important part of the episode. Everything else, you're like, "Toby, show us your penis."
That was a great highlight.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, Kevin, you could do the highlights for season four if you don't like the way I do it.
I'm all right. I'm just teasing. Just teasing.
So, Pam basically professes her feelings without saying, "I'm in love with you, break up with Karen."
Yeah. That's pretty much the long and short, and that's the cliffhanger.
That's the cliffhanger. Going into season finale, episode 23, The Job.
So the cold open, Michael is at headquarters in Manhattan, and David Wallace comes out, and Michael goes up to him. Like, "Oh, David, what's going on?" And he thinks the interview is today. But yeah. he plays it off like, "Oh, I was in the neighborhood," and David's like, "In Manhattan?" He's like, "Well, just stop and see a show during a work day." No. But then he asks a bunch of questions to David, like, "Oh, well, who's the most experienced person? Who did you give, who did you put in charge of the merger and all this?" And he gets the answers he wants. And then he's talking to the camera, doing a talking head where he goes, he's going to get this job because the other guys are dummies. As he's telling Pam, "I'll be 3 hours late. I got the day of my interview wrong."
And that's the moment where David is like, "Yes, Michael."
Yeah, he looks at the camera like, "Yeah, Mike, you got it." So then the show proper opens. Jim walks in with a new haircut. Which shows the... I don't know how to say this, like, in a nice way. He has large ears.
He does.
And it makes you, like, realize why he wore his hair down the way he did. John Krasinski has kind of large ears.
But here's the strange thing. Like, I've seen him in current movies, and his ears don't that big. Yeah, at 25, he grew into them.
But they did. Did they not look big in, like, this haircut?
They did, but it's probably just because he went from, as Karen so affectionately says, homeless.
Yeah.
To a stand-up professional.
Yeah, so Andy starts calling him Big Haircut instead of Big Tuna. And Jim does a talking head where he says Karen suggested it for the interview. She doesn't want him looking homeless. And Pam compliments him.
Yeah,
"It looks really nice.
You look great."
Mm-hmm.
Meredith calls him sexy hot.
And wants him to, like, spin around like he's on a catwalk. Yep. So then there's a talking head of Pam where she says at the beach they talked. And she told him that she missed him and their friendship. And they're good again. She's not embarrassed by what she said.
Yep.
So Dwight walks into Michael's office, and Michael tells him that he has the job. That he, when Michael goes to corporate, yeah. Dwight is going to be regional manager, and Dwight just starts ugly crying and saying thank you.
Like, it's really ugly. Like sobbing. Yeah. But I love what he wrote in the letter.
Yeah.
Like, he calls him an A-wipe. He's yeah. like, hey, A-wipe, don't screw it up. Like, don't screw the pooch. I'm like,
oh, see, I thought he misspelled Dwight. I thought he said A-Dwight or something like that.
I thought it
he
was
probably
A-wipe.
Did say A-wipe. He probably did. But anyway, Dwight or Pam goes into the break room where Karen's sitting, and Karen thinks she's there to apologize. But Pam says no. She's happy. She said what she said.
Yeah.
She just hopes that it doesn't make Karen feel weird.
Yeah.
That's all. So then Karen does a talking head where she just says, "Pam is kind of a bitch,"
and in that moment, she is.
Oh, Pam is like, a real bitch in this episode.
Because Pam wasn't like she's not generally like a nasty person.
No, but she's.
But
spiteful
in this episode, woof.
So Karen goes to gym, and like they decide they're going to leave early for the city because they both have the interview in the morning.
Yeah,
and they go to tell Mike, and he's kind of disappointed. He wanted to have a convoy where they would give each other middle fingers and moon each other along the way. But they're going to leave early because they don't have any work to do. And that's when Kevin goes up to Jim to talk about who is hotter, Karen yep. or Pam. And he starts, like, listing off, like, who's taller, who has a nicer face. He doesn't boobs. Say tits. Boobs, breasts, tits, whatever. Because you know Kevin's the kind of guy who says tits.
Oh, 100%.
But he's, like, you know, pitting their features against one another. And Jim kind of gets a kick out of it. He's like, I want you to think all day about this and get back to me with your findings. And, of course, yeah. Kevin's like, yeah, man.
Of course I will.
Totally. Then we go, and Pam is in the break room. And everybody else is in there, like, kind of milling about. And Oscar starts mocking her. Like, Pam, I miss our friendship.
Yep.
And, like, she kind of is, like, laughing around.
She's like,
She's in on the joke. She says she's not embarrassed. And then, like, everybody, like, adds in their 2 cents. And then Creed says he blogged the whole thing. And he talks about, we go to a talking head where he talks about his blog. www.creedthoughts.gov.www/creedthoughts. And the temp does an explanation where he says Creed, you know, approached him about starting a blog. And the temp was like, I just didn't want the world to see what came out of his mind. So I just opened up a Word document, put a fake domain name at the title, and Creed just puts his thoughts on it, like a diary almost.
He's like, I've read it. And even for the internet, it's pretty shocking.
And then they show, like, a B-roll of Creed at the computer typing, and it's, hello, cyber world, spelled with an S. Yeah. And it's talking about his favorite kind of car is a motorcycle. It's actually pretty funny.
I did like how Kelly, because Stanley made a comment like, I never heard you talk that much. I thought it was Kelly. And she goes, oh my God, no, that's Patheticville. No offense, Pam.
Yeah, she like, just throws her under the bus.
God.
So Michael goes to accounting. Oh, you got something? Good.
Now, this might be out of order because I was just notating my favorite part, but Dwight and Angela?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
So Michael goes to accounting. And Kevin asks him, like, what's it going to be like working with Jan? Is it going to be weird?
Oh, yeah.
And Michael starts, like, playing it off, like, oh, it's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. Blah, blah, blah. She can't stop me from getting the job. It's mine. I'm going to get it. Like, he's really confident. Like, it's his job.
He is.
And he even says that he sold his condo. Which immediately, Angela and Oscar, they're like, Michael, you're in debt. Why are you doing this? And, like, you don't have the job. Why are you doing this? He's like, no, it's as good as mine. He just doesn't seem like
he even says he got 80% of what he paid for.
Yes, he said the buyer was very motivated.
Dear God.
So Dwight now is the part where Dwight's in the break room behind Angela. They're doing their thing where they're talking without looking at each other, so to be inconspicuous. And Angela is funny here because she doesn't learn anything from the coup.
Yeah.
Earlier in the season when Dwight took over and pretty much said, you're just a woman.
Yeah.
And she's like all down because Dwight tells her he's going to be the regional manager.
But I loved it. I was like, how would you like to spend the night with the new regional manager? And she goes, I don't care if that's how they consolidated power in ancient Rome.
Apparently that's like one of their role-playing things, I'm assuming.
That was amazing.
But as Dwight leaves, she just smiles and goes, goodbye, Kelly Kapoor.
So menacingly.
Yes. Has not learned a thing from the coup.
Nothing.
At all. So Dwight is now at his desk gloating about being Jim's new boss and says, welcome to Hotel Hell. And he starts going off on like how the sheets are made of fire. And Jim's like playing along with this fantasy.
Yep, there's no cable.
Yeah. And so Jim pretty much sums it all up with this. Let me get this right. Your greatest fantasy is being in hell, co-running a B&B with the devil.
Yep.
And Dwight says, yes, but you haven't heard the best part. My salary is $80,000. So that was like, I don't know why, but like Dwight's using one of those.
The hand.
Yeah, like something you'd, like a housewife would use to keep her wrists in shape.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? No, like, have you ever seen, like, any adult use those? Like, in the, no. No, I never used those. I never used those.
I've seen them around the house.
Because our mother had them. Would she be on the exercise bike? Yes. I swear to God.
I highly doubt that.
Mark my words.
I will fact check that with mom.
Guys, it's those, what do you call them?
I don't even know.
It's like a, you squeeze them. They're like
the grips.
They're grips and you squeeze them. It's like a fulcrum. I don't even know how to fucking describe them.
We'll throw a picture up on Twitter.
I feel like they were big in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like jazzercise and stuff. Like you put them in your hand while you're spinning and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, the thumb muscles really got strong for that shit.
But I digress. So Dwight posts the sign-up sheet because his first act as regional manager will be to demote Jim, and he needs a new number two.
Yep.
And Andy signs up. So now Jan arrives wearing a denim jacket with some...
big jacket, yeah.
Yeah, with jeans. She looks like she's off the clock, kind of.
Yeah.
And Michael's reaction when he sees her is, why?
I love that. Why are you here?
And Pam, or
he calls her Janet.
Yes. Well, he's like, hello, Janet. Like, you can tell he's menaced right now.
Oh, yeah.
And Jan, like, wants to talk to him about how they ended. Like, she just wants to talk. So Michael tells her, I'll be in my office in a minute. So she goes in. And then he tells Pam to gather the women to the conference room. This is DEFCON 10.
Yep.
It's a big fucking deal, as Rex Ryan would say. No, that wasn't Rex Ryan.
I don't know.
It's a big fucking... Oh, that was Joe Biden.
Oh, geez.
It's a big fucking deal. So Pam rounds up the ladies and she gets Karen. And Karen nicely asks her, like, oh, for mine and Jim's interview tomorrow, can you please get us 6 copies of our sales records for the year? And Pam's like, yeah, sure. And then she just looks at it and goes, I really hope you get the job. Like, in a real bitch way, like, so you're like, not here anymore.
I hope
anymore.
You leave so I can steal your man.
Yeah, like, their claws are out. Well, I won't say Karen's are yet.
Not
but
yet.
Pam's claws are definitely out.
Yeah.
So Pam, another talking head. Or no, excuse me, I miswrote this. Jan is in the office with Michael and explains that she went on a vacation. She's made a bunch of changes and she wants to get back together.
Yeah.
And Michael is stunned and immediately runs to the conference room. And he runs and he goes, DEFCON 20! DEFCON 20!
Which, correct me, DEFCON,
I think 5
more
is
important as it goes down. DEFCON 1?
I don't know. I'm not military. Is it military?
I think so. But I thought it was the lower the number, the more, dangerous.
It's like golf?
I think
the lower
so.
The number, the better?
I'll look it up while you rehash. Go on.
Anyway. So the women are like, don't do it. Don't get back together with her. Like, you're so much happier now. So Michael's like, okay, whatever. He goes in. He's like, I'm going to end it right now. And Jan turns around and her breasts are out. And they are...
Yo.
They are perky and they are
the
full.
The size of his head.
They are presented. And Michael is immediately under the spell.
Dude.
He's like,
By the way, DEFCON 1 is the lowest, is the highest priority.
Gotcha, okay.
So he's going backwards.
He's going backwards, okay.
Which makes it more, all the better.
That's well written. So then we immediately get a talking head of Michael, who says, it's a sign of maturity to give second chances. He's going to hear her out.
God.
So it's funny, though, that you know what I think rings true most about this? Is, do you remember last episode at Women's Appreciation when he was doing the pro and con list? Of Jan.
Oh, yeah. The cons were her boobs twice.
Twice he
flat
put her boobs.
Flat-chested, no boobs.
Yeah, he saw those as, major cons on Jan. And, of course she fixed it. She knew it.
Oh, yeah. She knew what he was unhappy with.
And he got it. So Jan walks to the water cooler, and she's like, strutting.
Oh, she's strutting.
Strutting and cutting, you know? And,
she's like a cock walking around the farm.
Pam and Jim are like, whoa, you see that? They're going back up. And Karen sees it, and she jumps in. She's like, whoa, you see that? And of course, Jim, with the greatest line, she could put the cup right there because she's at the water cooler. So, then, Pam is like, oh, she jumped in on my fun.
Yeah.
She's so, oh.
But Pam. I do love the talking heads on this, though. Meredith, in my experience, guys are more attracted to the back of you.
Oh.
And then Creed. They're insulting or something.
I find it offensive.
Yeah.
Au naturel. Swing low, sweet chariots is his quote.
Yes.
That's how Creed likes it. For a man who made love in the mud to many women and possibly men.
A man could have slipped in there.
As we found out in past episodes. It makes sense.
It does.
So now Jan and Mike are together and Michael caves and they're back together. He wants to be back together. So then he does a talking head where it's not because of the boob job. No, boob enhancement.
Yeah, he
corrects
himself.
He corrects himself. Dwight now says it's time for the interview for the new assistant regional manager. And he gets up there and he's all disappointed. The only name is Andy's. So they go in for an interview, and Jim and Karen are leaving as this is going on, and everybody wishes them good luck, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Pam's like, bye, Jim.
Stop.
I'm just saying. That's what happened.
She said good luck, and he turned around. She's like, bye.
So then the interview is now taking place with Dwight and Andy, and Dwight's just like, favorite color, what's the capital of Maine? And, like, Andy's just, like, bullshitting through it or whatever.
Yeah.
And he always goes back to Cornell. And that's when Dwight's like, a moratorium on talking about Cornell. And, like, it's just whatever. And
I could have done without it, to be honest.
Yeah, this is, like, something that could have been saved for a future ep.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about them burning through shit too quick. Like, this is, I mean, I guess that you can't do it for another ep because it doesn't go anywhere. But maybe cut this out because then it just ends with them, it's an arm wrestling match that ends in a tie.
Yeah.
And Dwight declares the interview over. So then we see Kim and Karen driving to the job interview.
Jim and Karen? You said Kim and Karen?
Jim and Karen. Okay, whatever. Jaren are driving to the interview. And it's some ribbing, like friendly ribbing about who's going to get the job and everything. Like, it's cute.
Yeah. Oh, are you going to come to my congratulations party?
Yeah. So it's whatever. Mike is in his office just cupping Jan's breast.
Literally.
And she's like beaming. She's smiling.
She is. She's so happy. She's psychotic in this moment.
Yeah, her face is kind of like psychotic.
It is.
And Michael's just like,
He's a caveman in this moment.
It's awesome. But then he opens up the blinds in his office and she leaves. They kiss. She wishes him love.
So
he shut the blinds and molested her, essentially.
That's what I mean, like... And the camera caught it still.
Yeah, the camera was in on the side view just watching.
Oh.
It's so weird.
It is. Like, that moment is weird.
No. So, she leaves, and Pam asks him what happened. And he says, Pam's advice was good. Jan's was bigger.
God.
Oh, man. So, then Michael's leaving, and he says he'll be working for corporate. So, this is his goodbye. And he puts on, like, a tape.
Marshall song.
What was it? It wasn't Sarah McLachlan. It sounds like something that would be on Dawson's Creek.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like one of those songs. This was like, another one.
Thank you.
La 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 la.
Thank you.
Is it just thank you over and over?
I like to thank you for it. Na 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 na.
Okay, there we go.
It was a Marshall song. It's the only reason why it's in my brain
Marshall's
forever.
Classic. See, that's the thing. People don't realize that when you work retail as a high school or college kid, like those are scars, man.
Yeah,
they go deep. Too.
It is. It's like, on my soul forever.
Because they play the most. Like, first of all, you're in this fluorescent light. It's like you're in a mental asylum.
Yeah,
like the fluorescent lights and everything. Yeah, everything's sterile and everything. And then you like they play this music and it's the same. Like 50 tracks, yeah, every day, and it's the same fucking music. Like today, I was out shopping with my girlfriend, and I heard these songs like "What if heaven and earth collide tonight?" I'm like, oh god, this is like every retail establishment.
It makes you like want to have a seizure. Yeah, like,
that one or the "Look around the world, pretty baby," you know, like all that shit. Like, oh my god, all those songs. And it would only get worse at Christmas when you get like those ridiculous, and especially like the covers.
Yeah,
like Jessica Simpson. Baby,
no,
not that one. Hand to baby,
oh.
And she's singing it like she's having an orgasm. Like, what the fuck is it? Or baby, it's cold outside.
Yeah,
baby, it's cold outside.
Ew.
Hey, you should stay. Like, you know, like those weird covers.
It is.
Because they have to fit. They can't play the same five
songs.
But
then the best part is then they go on like, Malikaliki Laka.
Oh, Malik, no.
I said it the wrong way.
You made Malikaliki Maka. You almost made me fuck it up. No, that's my favorite.
That is my favorite song. That's my favorite Christmas song.
That's a top three Christmas
Thank
song.
Thank you, Christmas Vacation.
That one, Mariah Carey. I'm a mark for that song. I know, you didn't need the look. I don't fucking care. And the one from Rudolph where it goes, jingle, jingle, reindeer.
Yes.
You know that one?
I hear my sleigh bells ring.
I'm a big fan of that song. I am
old Kris Kringle.
Oh, God, I can't wait for Christmas.
Jingle, jingle.
Christmas is coming up. I am, like, so stoked to watch my favorite Christmas movie.
Same.
What's your favorite Christmas?
What's yours?
No, you go first.
No, you go first. No, you go. Muppets Christmas Carol.
Nah, Batman Returns.
All right.
That's a great Christmas movie.
See,
I don't know,
me and my husband
says.
Always have this conversation, though. He says that Die Hard is a Christmas
movie.
Oh,
my God. I'm so fucking over that. Everybody, every year.
But, Christmas. I mean, like, this has been going on since we started dating 10 years ago.
Oh, God.
This has been a 10-year debate between us. I think this is the only argument we've ever had.
I'm going to end it right now. Die Hard's a Christmas movie. I never want to hear this argument again. Because Twitter just blows up. And
God damn it. Fine. Well, let's get back off our tangent here.
Where are we?
Let's see.
Hold on. Okay, he gropes Jan's breast.
No, we already
Then he says his
that.
Goodbyes. He's playing the music. And Dwight shuts off the tape after Michael leaves.
That's the
and
one.
Slams his name up on the door. Dwight
Kasher. We're on the song. Yes. That's where we got off.
So he throws his name up on the door. He says, let's get to work.
All menacing. Who's ready to work?
All menacing. So then we see Jim. I almost said did
Jam.
Again. Jam. Jim and Pam. Jim and Karen. Fuck. All right, stop it. Jim and Karen are out at dinner, and they go to Spam a Lot, and they're like, they look cute. They're like having fun in the city. Mm-hmm. They're in New York, and like they walk and talk, and it's a. Karen brings up the sore topic. What if one of us gets the job?
Yep.
And Jim's like playing like, oh, I don't know, like he's being dopey, Jim.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, Jim. Like if you got this job, I would move here for you.
There's she nothing moved left in Scranton for us.
Well, and then. She says there's one person. Like, she pretty much says, like, Pam is going to do her best to, like, ruin us.
Yeah.
Which is very perceptive and very true. Like, Karen knows. And, of course, Jim just makes a joke out of it when she's like, oh, there's one person in Scranton. He's like, oh, Kevin?
One too many people in Scranton. And he's like, oh, Kevin?
So she doesn't trust Pam. And, like, I mean, she moved to Scranton for Jim.
She did.
Like, I would.
I mean, she's called him out on that, too. Like, I moved here for you.
Yeah, and why wouldn't she expect the same from him? Especially if they're as in love as they make it.
Well, they've been dating at least 6 months.
Yeah, and she's in love with him. Like, easily. So, then, the next morning, we open up, and the three of them, Michael, Karen, and Jim, are in the
corporate
lobby.
Center.
Yeah, they're in the lobby waiting for their interviews. Michael does a talking head where he says he's the most qualified candidate by far. So then we go to the office in Scranton. Go ahead.
Then he compares himself. He's like, oh, I'm the actor and these are my kids trying to hit it big. But they don't realize, like, Daddy is the actor. I'm like Meryl Streep.
Yeah, I didn't want to write all that down.
To Meryl
I didn't
want
to write it all down because it was just meandering.
I guess. What I mean? I thought it was funny.
It was okay. Meryl Streep. I hate Meryl Streep.
I know you do.
So
that's
overrated.
That's why you didn't write it down.
Maybe
because he compared himself to Meryl Streep.
It was subliminal. So Dwight's in the office, and Andy is his number two now, his numero two. And he says that, Andy's... Dwight is chewing. He has a pouch of Big League Chew.
Yes.
And he's spitting into the world's greatest boss mug.
I noted that down, too.
Like, it's actual tobacco.
Yeah.
And then
but it's grape.
Grape is the best one. Oh my God, Big League Chew. Going back to, did you do it in softball?
Little League, yeah.
In Little League, man, we were the shit, man. I wanted to be like back when I was a kid. There was the one player who had always had a big fucking like chew in, and I can't. Oh my God, who the fuck was it? I wanted to be like him. But Scott Rowland did. He had a big one. He always had a Chosky. But there, okay. I'm gonna think about this.
No idea.
Because it just popped into my head. I'm like, oh, I remember. We want to be like him.
Throw it up on Twitter. Probably, when you figure it out.
He probably has cancer now. But anyway, we go to Andy, who's washing out Dwight's mug in the sink, and he says, a few months ago, he was just a Cornell grad in anger management. Look where he is now. And Andy's weird.
Andy is weird.
What do you think about Andy as Dwight's number two? Like sitting there, like, do you think like he's just angling like he was in the past to be?
I think he is, but the one thing I can say about Andy is like he's not as obnoxious as he was.
Oh no, he's the character, they toned it down.
Thank God.
Because he is like not chewing up the scenery like a piece of shit anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still not the funniest by any stretch, but he's a lot more tolerable.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think he's trying to be, he knows that Dwight's a douche. So I think he's just trying to be in the best
you think he's
position
trying to
he can
blunt
be.
Dwight's force on him? Like how Dwight could like, go a ham on him?
Yeah.
Okay. So Michael is in like there. He introduces Jim and Karen to Hunter, Jan's assistant. And he goes, I'd like you to make a note for Jan when she comes here. I'd like to squeeze them.
Code.
And then he makes, he motorboats essentially. He goes, also tell her.
He does.
Delightful. So Dwight now has Pam in his office.
Yes.
And he gives Pam kudos for the coal walk and says, like, she showed leadership. And he wants her for the job of assistant regional manager, but more like assistant to the assistant regional manager.
Secretly.
Because Andy's his number two, but he wants someone he trusts. So he'll still stay assistant regional manager. And, like, it's this whole thing. And basically he says, do you accept this? And Pam says, I absolutely accept. And she does a talking head where she says, Jim always said when Dwight asks you secretly to accept something, you always do.
Yep.
So then Michael meets with David Wallace for the interview, and they go over greatest strengths, and Michael says that his weaknesses are his strength. And then we go, like, this is kind of goes back and forth now.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of like that whiplash we've talked about.
Yeah.
Where the office workers are in the break room discussing who will get the job, and Oscar's like, there's no way Michael will get it. He'll be back. Like, we don't have to worry about Dwight. And Kevin, like, Pam says, well, I think Karen will get the job. And Kevin goes, yeah, she will, because she, those fancy pantsuits. Yeah. And then he starts writing in his notebook.
Yeah.
He's still keeping tally, Pam versus Karen.
But also, like, I'm trying to think of how to say it. Like, even Phyllis is like, yeah, but he wasn't, like, qualified for the job he has now, and he's there now.
Anybody who works in a corporate structure knows that the most talented or deserving individual does not always move up.
That's very true.
And sometimes it's because of politics. And it's sometimes because the person who deserves that job knows that it's a bunch of bullshit and doesn't want to put up with the bullshit. They're happy doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's just, I think, corporate life in America.
I think it's more political bullshit.
It goes both ways. Because, like, a lot of the people who don't want to move up, like, we see at the end of this episode, there's somebody who's very ambitious. And then we have someone like Jim, who I think is just going for the job because
it's something
to do. Yeah, it's something to do. He doesn't really want it.
No, it's not like he's been pining for it. Yeah, it's just he's like, oh, the opportunity fell in my lap, sure.
Where Michael does want it.
Yeah.
Because he loves Dunder Mifflin and he'll be closer to Jan.
Yeah.
So he does want it, but Jim not so much. Karen kind of does. I think she does.
I think Karen would more so like to prove herself.
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody has different motivating factors or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But, so then Dwight makes an announcement to the, group about Schrute Bucks.
Yes.
He's instituting a new policy, and it's a 8x11 sheet of paper made out to look like a dollar bill with his picture on it.
Yes.
And he talks about how when somebody does something good, they get one Schrute Buck, and I think it's 1,000 mean you get 5 extra minutes on your lunch.
Yes.
So, like, that's his new system of, I guess, motivating people.
I guess.
So, they go over the value system and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, no more meetings. Michael wastes a lot of time on meetings and all this BS.
Celebrations.
Celebrations about do-goodery, I think he says.
Yeah.
And he announces that, then, like, he kind of gets, like, a little, I don't know, what you say, hot under the collar because people are questioning him.
And just, oh, yeah. He gets he gets kind of frazzled. Frustrated. Yeah.
And he immediately backs down and says, conference room, 10 seconds. He turns into Michael.
Yep.
And the meeting is instituted.
Well, because he, instead of doing the celebrations, he's going to have a series of lectures on the history of paper.
Which sounds friggin' fantastic.
Yes.
And we get a talking head with Pam where she says she can't wait to see what this is. And then she just goes, I just wish Jim was here. And she smiles. She's not even fucking hiding it anymore.
Nope. She came out. She came out and poured her heart out at the beach.
Ugh.
This bitch is not. She even says at the beginning, she's like, I'm happy I said it. It only took me 3 years to muster up the courage.
So she's just like, I fucking like Jim.
Yeah.
And that's it. She's just swinging her dick around, telling everybody. So we go back to corporate with Wallace and Michael. And Michael has, like, the dumbest ideas, like changing the name of the company and coming out with super duper
paper.
Yeah, like, stupid thing. And David Wallace is like, thanks for coming in. Like, it's always interesting when we meet, which is, like, his way of saying, like, you're fucking weird. You
know? Get the hell out of here.
So, basically, Michael says, I need to sign a new love contract because me and Jan are back together. I don't know if you know. And that's when Wallace tells him, well, you're interviewing for Jan's job. I thought that was clear. Michael had no idea.
Nope.
So then he's going down the hallway and he gets to Jan's office. And
she's all pumped. She's like, hey, babe.
Yeah, oh, God.
How did it go?
She, like, kisses him. She's like, oh, God, you're so proud of you. Like, she's really happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Michael kind of spills the beans.
Well, he's like, I'm not allowed to tell you.
Yeah. And we go back to the office where now Dwight is lecturing on the origin of paper, including topsoil samples.
It's amazing.
And
Angela is so proud.
They're talking about nitrogen and precipitation.
Phosphorus.
Yeah, manganese.
Yep.
All I think of is fucking Caddyshack when Bill Murray's character is going over the different types of grass. And he just looks at the guy and he just goes, manganese. You know, and a lot of people don't even know what that is. Like, that's like all I got from this. But Stanley doesn't, like, want any part of it. He doesn't want any Schrute Bucks.
Well, he even asked, like, oh, what form does rain fall in? Liquid, gaseous, or solid?
Yeah, it's very kind of condescending.
Yeah.
And Stanley's just like, liquid. And then Dwight's like, you got one Schrute Buck. And, of course, Stanley's like, I don't want any. He's like, you're deducted 50 Schrute Bucks.
He goes, take off. Make it 100.
Yeah, and then when Dwight, this is the moment
poor
when
Dwight
gets serious and forlorn, he just goes, you don't want Shroot Box?
Like, he's almost, don't you guys want to earn Shroot Box?
He's almost wounded. It's like, I'm wounded! Like, it's hilarious. And
that's so, when Stanley says, I will give you 1 billion Stanley nickels to leave me alone and never speak to me again.
Yeah, and then they talk about...
the ratio of Stanley nickels to Shroot Box. It's leprechauns to unicorns.
Yeah, and that's when Andy's going to cancel the meeting.
Yeah,
but like Dwight's like, no, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
and that's when Pam jumps in, and she's like, everybody, let's just listen to Dwight. And everybody sits down.
Oh, yeah, she like
because she like it's she's taking it seriously only in Dwight's eyes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
She's like, no, this has got way better shit coming.
Yeah, this has legs.
Let's I want to see the potential of this.
And like Dwight gives her this really weird wink, and Oscar's like, why did you wink at her?
Why are you winking at each other?
Zip it.
He does zip it.
Dwight's lying to Oscar because he did it earlier too. Like, zip your lid.
Yep.
So then after that, we go and Karen's interviewing, and she seems professional. She has a 5-year plan.
Yeah.
And David Wallace asks her, what do you think about Michael Scott? And she says, I think he's a very nice man who's very good at the job he has now. And he goes, this is off the record. And she just goes, he would be a disaster. Just very, very nice. So
I mean, she tried to be professional. At least she didn't go in being like, he's a total idiot.
So, okay, I got a little mixed up here. This is when we see Michael going to Jan's office.
Yeah.
And he says, let's run away together to Jamaica. Yeah. You can pay off my debt.
Yeah, you can pay off my debt. You have savings.
Yeah. And she knows something is up. So then we see her marching into Wallace's office.
Those kicks the door. Are all over.
Oh, God, they are out. Yes. And like, she just goes, why are you firing me? And he's like, Jan, it's been a long time. Like, it's the showdown. And she goes, is it because of these? Whoosh!
She whips her jacket off.
Oh, God. And they are out there. But, and, like, Wallace won't look at them. He's like, no, Jan. And
he's like, you smoke in your office. You online shop all day. You disappear for days.
You've been erratic.
You go to Scranton way more often than you need to.
Yes.
This is the last 2 years.
And then he tells her that she's unstable. And Michael pokes his head and goes, you're unstable.
Yeah.
Like he's like the little kid at the schoolyard, like, who sits behind the bully and says something. You know? And, like, she refuses to leave. She, like, sits down.
Yeah.
And, of course, she crosses her
arms. In the middle of Karen's interview.
Yeah, Karen's just sitting there all meekly.
Right.
So then we go back to Scranton. Dwight is painting his office black for intimidation purposes. And then we go back to New York where Jan is being escorted out by security with a box of goods. And she's saying goodbye to Hunter. She says, good luck with your band.
Don't let them change you.
Yeah, it's awesome. And Jim and Karen are watching the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Wallace pretty much tells Michael, you're not getting the job. We're going to
go. Well, it's because Michael's like, let me know about the job. And he goes, you're not. Yeah. You're not getting it.
And he just plays it off. He just goes, like, I withdraw my name from consideration. It's fucking awesome. So then Jim is sitting there. He says he feels bad for her. And Karen says, don't. She's nuts.
Yeah. Like,
Karen can tell.
Yeah, apparently, she's unstable.
Yeah, well, I mean, you still feel bad for people when they are unstable.
Oh, yeah, she's obviously having a break from reality.
She's not getting the help she needs.
No.
Yeah.
So, even though she's a therapist.
Yes. Yeah, she does have a therapist. Well, they watch sex tapes together, as we find out. So Karen goes to meet her friends for lunch at Jim's insistence.
Yeah.
He tells her to go because she was going to wait for him. So she goes, and Jim's sitting there, and the receptionist answers the phone. Dunder Mifflin, this is Grace. And you just see Jim go, like, perk up, like, huh.
Yep.
Like he had a Vietnam flashback or something.
My God.
Like, huh, what was that? Well, that's what Pam used to do. Oh, Pammy. Pammy. But anyway, then we see Mike and Jan driving. And Jan's, like, okay
she's
with it.
She's in the middle of a breakdown.
Yeah, she's okay with it. Then she's not. Then she's crying. Like, she's all over the place, like a wet shit. And she's breaking down. She says she's on painkillers. Her moods have been unpredictable. Michael's just staring ahead the whole time. He's like a fucking boss.
Terrified.
He's hilarious.
He's terrified.
But then she changes her like whole mindset. She says, this could be great. I could wear stretch pants and wait at home all day for you to get home.
At 5:15.
Yeah, she has it all like done. Like now this is her reality. This is what it's going to be. And Michael looks even more. I swear to God, he visibly gulps in this scene. So Michael arrives back at the office. He announces it like the Terminator. I'm back.
Yeah.
And then he says like something else in that accent. He says, Kevin Nealon. You remember Hans and Franz from Saturday Night Live? They were like Dana Carvey and Kevin Nealon.
Oh,
you little girly man. Yeah. That's what he was going for.
We bump you up.
He tells the temp to get him coffee. And the temp's like, I don't do that anymore. He just like shrugs it off. He's kind of bitchy about it. And Michael's like, whatever. So he tells everyone he withdrew his name. He's here now. Then he sees that his office is black. He doesn't freak out. He goes, why is my office black?
Yeah.
And Dwight says, Andy told me to do it. He goes, bad management style. Yep. He just says that.
That was a bad idea. Bad management. Yeah. Don't listen to it.
He's like not fazed by it at all. So then Pam asks him if Karen got the job. But he just like ignores her.
He did.
And like he's like, everybody back to work or whatever. So... Oh, God, where are we now?
Then,
I'm all over the place, man.
I think
okay,
it's
so, Dwight goes up to Pam and thanks her for helping him. You served the office with great dignity.
Mm-hmm.
And she gives him a salute, and he salutes back. So then we get a talking head of Pam. I don't know what the future holds, but I'm an optimist. That's what she says.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, like, she's like Jesus smiling. Christ. She's very smiley in this episode, you notice?
Yeah.
She's not wallflower Pam.
No.
She's like...
Well, that's what I said.
50
she's
pound
broken.
Weight off her chest pan.
Yeah, there's nothing else for her to lose.
Yeah, she lost Roy. She lost her best friend temporarily, although maybe he's back. Who knows? So, Wallace.
What do you do?
What?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Wallace and Jim are now interviewing. And Jim is like charming Wallace. Like
because
a fucking
he's so
salesman.
Easily able he is, to. He is know, a salesman.
I know, that's what I'm like. That's how you know he's a salesman. And he's like, oh, hey, how am I so awesome? Like,
Sixers fan, and, hey.
Yeah, so Jim pulls out his papers and he sees a note with the Office Olympics medal on it.
The yogurt lid.
And says, don't forget us when you're famous, Pam. And like he immediately loses focus and he's like thinking. And David Wallace asks him, what do you like most about the Scranton branch? And he says, the friendships.
Yep.
So what are you going to say something?
Well, while Jim is like looking at this note that he's getting, David's talking about...
HR.
HR. Yeah. Now, there's only one guy you're not going to like. He's the HR rep. God, he's just terrible. His name is Kendall.
Kendall and Toby. The HR is like the bane of everyone's existence.
I love it.
It's fucking, that was a nice little note there.
Yeah.
And so, like, Jim, and,
I hate this. He loses focus again.
He has a flashback. Now, I hate this because it's a docuseries, a documentary, allegedly.
Yeah.
But they do, like, these flashbacks of the characters.
Yeah, I know.
Like, this is the second time they've done it? They did it for the casino night, right?
Yeah.
So they do this, and it's a flashback to beach night, where after Pam did all this, she's in the water, cooling her feet down. And Jim comes over to her, and he tells her why he went to Stanford, and he just didn't want to be there anymore, and that even though he's back, he doesn't really feel like he is. And Pam just says, I wish you would. And she smiles at him. And then, like, we see Jim, he's like, huh. He, like, snaps out of it.
God.
What? Am I wrong?
No.
Come on. He, like, snaps out of it, right?
I know, but the way you're like, huh.
Well, no, it's like, oh, Pam, you know. So anyway, Pam's doing a talking head again. This, I swear to God, this is a bone with this episode. Half of it is Pam's talking head.
No.
You know, it's all throughout the episode. I feel like
it's throughout
everything
the episode,
Dwight does, everything Dwight does, there's a talking head. Her talking about Jim, talking head. Like, in the beginning.
Yeah, but you have to think about it this way.
She's the only one narrating this episode. There's barely a talking head. There's one talking head with Karen when she says she's a bitch. There's one.
Reed, Meredith. In the beginning. That's the thing. This is a long episode. And unfortunately,
I just feel like there was
they
too much
wasted
Pam.
Everybody else's character on the bullshit filler in the beginning. If they had started the New York stuff even like 10 minutes earlier in this episode, it would have been so much better.
You think so?
Yeah. Sorry. That was going to be one of my final thoughts.
No. We'll get there.
Spilling it out.
We get another Pam talking head where she says, I bet Jim got the job. It's okay if he doesn't come back. We're friends. The timing was just never right. And as she's talking, we see footage of Jim leaving the interview. He's driving in his car back, it's assumed. And she goes, it's okay. And then you hear like the door open because they always do the talking heads in the conference room.
Yeah.
And it pans over and it gets into focus. It's Jim. And he goes, do you want to go out to dinner tonight?
Are you free for dinner tonight?
Whatever.
Do not screw this scene up, okay. Kevin.
And she just goes, yes.
He goes, fine. Great. It's a date.
And then he leaves, and she gets
She's so happy she's in tears.
Yeah, she's like
got
crying.
Tears in her eyes, and she can't stop smiling.
What was the question again? And
yes.
She's just smiling. It's like, oh, that's cute. But that's not the end.
Nope.
No. We see David Wallace in his office offering someone the job.
Yeah.
And he apologizes for all the calamity and everything.
Yeah,
the
back
uncertainty.
And forth.
Yeah.
It's going to be nice to have another MBA in the office.
And we see the person on the other end of the line is Ryan. And he accepts the job and immediately breaks up with Kelly.
Immediately. She's like, who's that? And he's like, we're done.
Yeah.
What?
That's it. And that's the end of the episode. That's the end of season three.
Season three.
What did you give this one?
I gave this one a 4.3. My reasoning...
Go ahead.
There's... The first half of this episode was way too filler. There's no direct... Like, okay, yeah, Dwight got the job. Okay, so that's a continuation from Beach Games. That's great. Didn't need the sign-up sheet. Did not need the interview with Andy. I feel
then
like
painting
that
the
was
office.
Just, yeah, like that stuff was all just like, hey, these guys need something to do this episode.
Yeah, I feel like it's called The Job.
Yeah.
And only half of it was about the actual job in my... I feel like The Job was actually
second in the subplots.
It was second in the overall plot. I think the Jim Pam thing took over everything, especially with how Pam was treating Karen.
See,
and the Karen
I don't think
Jim
it took
stuff.
Over everything until the very end.
No, because even Jim and Karen, half of their dialogue was about Pam. What do you think about it? Like when
only
they get
the
to New York.
In New York.
When Jim and Pam are talking about the movies, and Karen jumps in and gets involved at the beginning when.
But she wasn't talking about like it was
no,
about Jim.
It was
and
about
Pam,
Jim and
it,
Pam,
it,
and then in
yeah.
the beginning when Pam's like, "I like your haircut," and yeah, we immediately see Karen glaring at her. Like,
but we can't say anything because we've said before about it not being a continuation until like. There was no cohesion.
I'm just saying that's the number
episodes.
One story of this episode.
But it should be because the last episode was Pam basically professing her love for Jim.
But it was also three characters going for the same job. And
the
last episode was based around Michael seeing who his successor would be because
that.
He's going to go for this job.
No, I get that. But, like, I don't know. Maybe if they just didn't squeeze all of it into one episode... It would have been better, but...
Well, and that's another thing I want to touch about the Jim Carrey, or the Pam Carrey.
You forgot that Creed and Meredith even had talking heads in this episode.
I kind of did.
That's what I mean.
There's a lot, but... Okay.
It's too much for one episode.
Pam Carrey.
Love that.
All of a sudden, they're on the same page. Why do we only get, like, 20 minutes of these two being catty with each other? I could have done with that for, like, four episodes.
Oh, God,
and
yeah.
it's like, again, they,
it
would like,
have been amazing.
They accelerated through yeah. something. It's like, they build it all up, and then the blow-off is always so fucking anticlimactic. It's, like, all wrapped up in, like, a quick 20 minutes, and it drives
yeah.
me crazy. I feel like they did that for The Return.
Yeah.
They did it for the merger. Like, the merger was something that should have been almost all season long, I feel like, or at least half the season. They only did 7 episodes.
Yeah.
And, like, they do these things where they set them up, they set them up, they set them up, and it's, like, over.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that climax sucked. Like, there was no, the payoff was not worth it.
The merger was only 3 episodes, by the way.
No. I'm not talking about, like, the actual merger. I'm talking, like, the Stanford stuff. From season, it was like from
okay.
episode 1 to episode 7 was
yeah.
when they closed the branch. So like all the Stanford stuff was only like not even a third, a little less than a third of the season.
Yeah.
You know? And I just feel like that's something they did. Like this Karen Pam thing, they're finally both out in the open with their intentions. They both want Jim. We can get two women like fighting for Jim's attention and it's just over.
Yeah.
Because they've been pitter-pattering around the edges of it the whole time. Like, they kind of have a little bit here or there. But, like, Karen's the dupe who believes that Pam's not really after Jim the whole time.
Yeah.
You know? And that, like, that's what drives me crazy about
yeah.
it. Like, this episode is, like, maybe you could have cut out some of the shitty episodes this season, because there were a few we did not give good grades to.
Yeah.
And
but we also could have cut down the boob scene where Michael molested her for a minute and a
well,
half
no.
straight.
But, I mean, that's all in the same episode. Like, I'm talking, like, this is a long-term
no,
thing.
No,
you know?
I know. Like, we could have gotten rid of the coup. That was awful.
Yeah, we did. Well, you hated it. I
hated it.
Well, you know, we could talk about this after
as
halftime.
Yeah, in our senior wrap-up.
Yeah.
Season wrap-up.
Our senior wrap-up. We're going to kill some senior citizens.
Ayo.
But, I mean, overall, I gave this episode 4.5 because
okay.
there were laughs. There was absolutely character stuff.
Well, it got better as the episode progressed. Like, I'm not going to say that. But a lot happened in this episode. And finally, we get the payoff of Jim and Pam.
Well, not technically. They're just going on a date.
Well, but still, it's...
It's more than anything.
The timing is better. It's not him, like, kissing her in a dark office without her consent. You know what I mean? We're finally getting somewhere.
What a watershed moment that was. Holy shit. Well, I'll tell you what. The one person I came away liking more than anything in this episode was Jan.
Why? Because we finally have an understanding of her psychosis?
Yeah, because she's interesting. Because she's unpredictable.
Yeah.
I almost feel like you know what Jim, Pam, and Michael, and Dwight, you feel like you know how they're going to take a situation and react.
Yeah.
Like, Jan is a total loose cannon, like, wild card.
Yeah, she's fucking psychotic.
Because we've seen, like, buttoned up business Jan. Now we're seeing, like, mental breakdown in the car, like on painkillers with yeah. Michael. Like, I feel like, oh my God, this character can go anywhere. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And like, it's wide open. Like, with Jim and Pam, it's like, okay, even if it doesn't work out, they're still going to be like Jim and Pam in a way. Like, Jan, it's like, what are you going to get? Oh shit, what's this next episode? What's the next season going to be like? Is she going to be like a domesticated housewife? Is she going to be like drinking bottles of wine and like, you know, making dirty videos for Michael? Like, what is going to happen? I'm so curious. But
we're really excited for season 4.
I'm really excited. Yeah. Okay. Well, after the break, we're going to do season 3 breakdown and wrap up about all 23 episodes. We're going to talk about our favorites, our aggregate ratings, I guess, for the series. And we're going to do that, and we'll be back right after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on 2 great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome back to the halftime portion of the show, the intermission, if you will, where this is the part of the show that we put ourselves over, as well as our partners at Place to Be Nation. So right now I'm going to tell you what's going on over at the PTBN pop feed. The Sarcastic Four are back with the latest episode of the Marvel Age podcast, where they continue their look at roughly one-third of the most significant of Marvel's output throughout the year, 1972. I'm looking forward, looking back, Looking forward, looking back to sports.
Ah.
Cowboy and John D'Amato look back at the recent MLB season and ahead to the newest NBA season, Fear the Deer. Weekly show, the hard-traveling fanboys, they go off the page and look at the 1974 television movie Wonder Woman, starring Kathy Lee Crosby and Ricardo Montalban.
Ooh.
Ricardo Montalban, you remember him from Naked Gun?
Oh my God.
He was the villain, and he was also Khan in Star Trek.
Yep.
But more or less, I remember him as, what was his name in Naked Gun? It was like Sinclair or something. You get like an evil guy. Another weekly show, DC For You, continues with their Green Lantern Month by taking a deep dive into the beginnings of the Four Corpsmen, Hal Jordan, Guy Gardner, Jon Stewart, and Kyle Rayner. This Week in the NFL hits weekly as well, with Roger and Johnny recapping the last set of games and previewing the upcoming weekend's batch. Siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother Sister Rewatch podcast.
Fwah, fwah, fwah.
That sounded like a weak fart.
Wow.
Fump, fump, fump.
Fump, fump, fump!
On the newest Diamond Conversations, the fifth episode features a one-on-one chat with author J. David Herman, who wrote the book Almost Yankees, The Summer of 81 and the Greatest Baseball Team You've Never Heard Of, which is about the 1981 Columbus Clippers. They were the AAA affiliate of the New York Yankees.
Really?
When we were kids back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
We'd go see them. Like, yeah.
As the Red Barons.
Yeah, that's right.
Who were the Phillies' AAA associate.
The Red Barons are featured on The Office, actually. That's the ball in the back of Michael's office behind him. There's a Red Barons ball. There's various bobbleheads and ducks.
And Grump.
Well, there was the one guy they had.
Duckworth, right?
They had Duckworth and Marlon Byrd, and they made them into rubber ducks.
Oh, yeah.
They were both pretty successful major league players as well. In a PTBN pop special, Andy Atherton, Todd Weber, and Scott Criscolo break down the brackets and matchups of the greatest sitcom of all time tournament. I will listen to that as soon as I can because I care. Actually, you're going to be listening to this on the 25th, November.
Yeah.
Today is the first day.
Yeah, so get out there and vote.
Yes, the Greatest Sitcom of All Time tournament kicks off today, beginning with the play-in round. There will be four matchups per day, so make sure to like the tournament page so you won't miss a single one.
I'm so excited for that.
Oh, it's
like the anticipation has just been building for us.
I feel like this is going to be like a 5-month
track.
Like, it's going to be long. It's going to be hard.
I'm going to say like Final Four is going to be like The Office, Seinfeld, Andy Griffith, and Friends.
Well, you got to pick them. They have to be from different brackets, because there's the 90s, so Friends and Seinfeld can't do it.
Oh, shit.
At least I think that's it. Look at the brackets. They're out there. Like the page.
Yeah.
Get a look at who you want to vote for beforehand, before they come out every day. So, over at the PTBN Wrestling feed, on the premiere episode of Body Press Your Luck, PTBN's first ever wrestling trivia game, host JT Rosero and Jordan Duncan welcome Ryan Everett, Neil Trauma, and Logan Crossland to battle it out. If you think you have what it takes to be a main eventer on the show, reach out to us and you may be on a future episode. Latest episode of Place to Be podcast, JT and Scott are joined by Jennifer Smith to review the February 1999. They're reviewing the MSG House Show from February of 1990.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I haven't even been drinking. We're going to do a cast one day where we just drink while we talk. And while we review an Office episode, we're going to like have like beers, liquor. We're going to have all kinds of drinks.
I already know which one we should do.
That one, I feel like that one we should have like a PayPal set up and people just give us money. Like they could pay for the booze and then like just enjoy the listening.
There you go.
On part two of number 137 of the main event, Nate, Scott, and Steve go back to 2002 to check out TNA's 20th pay-per-view. On a new Wrestling War Zone, JT and Scott dive into Raw Nitro from 2/5/96. Ginny and the Gems explore the WWE Hidden Gems Vault with a look at the Great American Bash Tour from Greensboro in 1988. In the newest show, With This Ring, husband and wife Ryan and Cindy look at five matches and discuss where they place on Ryan's GWWE match list, as well as Cindy's personal list. And that, you know, like I heard about the show, we've talked about it, we've promoted it,
mm-hmm.
and it gets me thinking now, like today I was thinking about it. You never had this problem because you weren't a wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a guy and you're a wrestling fan, like especially like, well, for me it wasn't a big problem because like from the late teens to mid 20s, I didn't watch wrestling.
Yeah.
But after that, like, you know, I'd watch wrestling.
You got back into it.
You get a girl and like you're dating and like you don't, you got to find the perfect time along this spectrum of like.
To introduce your love for wrestling.
Yeah, to like be like, oh, wrestling. Wrestling's cool. You know, you always start off with like, oh, yeah, I grew up with like Macho Man and Ted DiBiase. Yeah. And
you try to give yourself an excuse as to why you watch.
Well, it's like WrestleMania. You know, it's like, you know, we do it every year. You know, it's what we do, you know. And then like she finds you watching 1988 house show matches with Adrian Adonis.
In your Macho Man Randy Savage shirt that your sister bought you.
That's right. Well, for Christmas. That's right.
Damn straight.
And, you know, it's a tough topic for a guy to broach with a woman. I'm just going to say that much. So the fact that these two watch it together, kudos to you.
I mean, granted, my husband told me about his obsession with Pokemon, so that can't be.
Yeah, that wasn't a deal. That wasn't a deal breaker for some reason. I'm actually kind of proud of you two. You guys overcame that. On the latest PTBN Extreme Three-Way Dance, JT, John, and Jenny continue their ECW adventure with the much anticipated Hostile City Showdown. Subscribe to the Jenny Position, the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talking Pop, Freak Out, Drive-In, and Telling Stories and more. Don't forget to check out PlaceToBeNation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including the SmackDown on Fox report, This Week in WWE, Paulie's Perspective, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. But don't forget about veteran columns like Every Wednesday. We've got the most interesting and unexpectedly funny stories on the World Wide Web in Glenn's Weekly Walk. For college football fans, Scott Criscolo and Logan Crossland have their weekly campus hot takes, looking back at the previous week and looking ahead to the biggest matchup. By the time you listen to this, Penn State and Ohio State will have played.
Yes.
This game,
this weekend.
This game is Penn State's season.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this and Penn State lost, know that I am forlorn. If they won.
Yeah, we're both going to be a little upset next week when we do the podcast.
You really think they're going to lose?
If they lose.
They're 18-point underdogs.
I mean, if they lose, we will not be.
I will not talk about. When we do this talk about campus hot takes, I will not mention my beloved Nittany Lions. If you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Check out our social media pages and message board at www.bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining our GWWE, PPV, and TV Match Ever project. Get in on the conversation today and start researching your list. Ballots are now open, and the ballot link is available on the Facebook group page.
All right. Now, Place to Be Nation, that was all for you guys. Now it's time for us to put ourselves over. Hit us up on Twitter at Brother Sister. I'm sorry. At,
at Bro Sis. You have like 15 minutes to prepare.
I know. At Bro Sis Podcast on Twitter, and at Brother Sister Rewatch at gmail.com to email in your thoughts, ideas, concerns.
A lot of concerns.
But again, that's Bro Sis Podcast on Twitter. I like to keep it light and funky.
Funky?
Like, for instance, this past week, we posted all of those pictures that we promised you with the duck. We did that when we did a few screen grabs from Women's Appreciation. So, again, we like to keep it light and funky at Bro Sis Podcast on Twitter. And also, again, send us in any thoughts.
We'll read your feedback on the air.
Yeah. BrotherSisterRewatch@gmail.com.
We love hearing back from people. We got a lot in the beginning.
Yeah.
And the well has dried up. But if you like the show and you're entertained by the show and you like the subject matter, please, if you have any friends who you think would enjoy it just as well, share us around.
Yes.
Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, whatever you guys use. I don't know.
Reddit.
Reddit. Yeah, Reddit. Put us on Reddit. I'm sure there's an office Reddit or subreddit. God, what are they called?
Yeah.
I'm not the technological one here. You're the one who has like Roku and shit.
Yeah.
I thought that was a Street Fighting character. Oh, I didn't know what the fuck Roku was.
Jesus Christ.
But anyway, so that's us.
Yeah. But this didn't come in feedback, but we had an idea to round out our last season.
Yeah.
Season 3, we changed up our format from previous seasons. Because,
where we just rambled.
Yeah. So we listed out all of the episodes that we've watched this season, and we've also written down our scores and given an average score for the season.
Yeah.
So now, go ahead. We're going to kick off our season review. And now we watched Gay Witch Hunt, which I gave a 5, you gave a 5. I think that
it's a money episode.
That was a great season opener. We started out really strong.
Great shit.
We went into the convention with a 4.0 and a 4.3 from you. That was a great episode, too. They went down to Philadelphia.
Yeah. Jerome Bettis was there?
Exactly. The bus. I learned who the bus is. Yeah. It was great. The coup, I hated.
Yeah,
I gave it a 2.8. Kevin gave it a 4, which just shows you just how drastic our opinions can be.
Yeah.
And then grief counseling, I gave it a 3.2, you gave it a 4.5. Again, like a lot
was
of
that
these...
the one with the bird?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Then we had initiation where
Ryan.
Dwight took Ryan into Shroot Farms. We finally saw Shroot Farms.
I'm not looking at the numbers, but I think we both did not like that one.
It was average. Yeah. I gave it a 3.0, you gave it a 2.8.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a pretty average episode.
We were just meh about that.
Yeah. Then we had Diwali, the Indian Halloween.
I remember being like underwhelmed by that one.
You were, because you gave it a 3.0. I gave it a 4.2. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. Maybe the cringe at the end was... Actually, it wasn't even that cringy.
No,
I remember
Michael
not
trying
thinking,
to kiss Pam.
No, I was talking about cringy. The Carol thing. I remember that happening. Like, I'm not even thinking that was that cringy.
Yeah.
But it was.
No, it was Michael kissing.
Yeah, that's what I hated, because
trying
that had
to
no,
kiss Pam.
There was no reason for that.
No.
There was no buildup or anything.
But that was like the worst ending.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Then we had brand closing, where finally we found out that Stamford and Scranton were going to merge together. Jim was undecided if he was going to come back to Scranton because of personal reasons.
That's why you got me off guard.
Okay.
Yeah.
I gave it a 3.4. You gave it a 3.3. So we were pretty much on the same page.
Uh-huh.
Then the merger. The Connecticut folks finally moved back to Scranton. Jim came back. And I gave 4.1, you gave 4.0. Then the convict.
Yeah, we
where
liked
one
that
of
one.
The new Connecticut people had a felony record.
Yeah.
And Josh hired him and, ended up actually making money for the company. That one, I gave it a 4.8, you gave it a 4.5.
Yeah, we liked that one a lot.
That one was hilarious.
Prison Mike.
Yep. Exactly. Prison Mike, the Dementors, everything. Then a Benihana Christmas. after Carol has broken up with Michael for sending out a photoshopped photo of him, her two children, and her on a ski trip, which he stole from her, her ex-husband, and her kids on a ski trip. She breaks up with him. He was going to take her to Sandals, Jamaica, and now he needs somebody to go with him. They go to Benihana, pick up some girls, bring them back to the Christmas party, and, Angela, Karen, and Pam are feuding.
There's a party planning committee fracture.
Yeah, so there's two parties. Lots happen. Michael can't tell the difference between his waitress girlfriends, and he ends up finding somebody to go with him at the end, but you don't know who.
This one was a step down from the previous year's Christmas episode.
Yes.
It really was. But
so this one, I gave it a 4.4. You gave it a 4.0.
Wasn't as good as last year's, though.
Yeah.
There was something. I think this was one of those ones where we felt like the time, because it was like a 35-minute episode. Or it might have been 40. Even.
Yeah.
Like the time just played against it.
Yeah. There was, that's, I mean, even in this review, it went longer than every other one. You know what I mean? There's a lot going on. Then back from vacation, Michael is back from Jamaica. He has three little beads in his hair. He wanted to skip inventory, but they couldn't do it without him. So they're down in the warehouse. And we got a little flash of Todd Packer.
Yeah, Todd.
The only time this season, I think.
No, he was there for the bachelor party episode. He showed up for 2 seconds.
Yep. But Michael accidentally sends out a picture of Jan on her stomach getting a massage. Because
she went to the vacation.
She went to Sandals, Jamaica with him.
Yeah.
And she was topless.
Yep.
So that picture got sent around all over. The warehouse printed it out on like a mural sized board.
Mm-hmm.
And Jan found out because even though she told him not to say anything to anybody.
He emailed it to the entire company.
Yep. So then we go to traveling. Oh, I'm sorry. I gave that a 4.2. You also gave it a 4.2.
It was a solid app.
Yeah. Then traveling salesmen, where all the salespeople broke off into teams. Jim and Dwight were a team. Karen and Phyllis were a team. Stanley and Ryan. And Michael and Andy. And in that episode, I believe that's when...
Andy sabotaged Dwight.
Andy sabotaged Dwight and got him fired.
No, he resigned.
Oh, he resigned. I apologize. But, so it was kind of sad because Dwight loved his job.
And Andy was a dick.
Andy was a huge dick.
Yeah.
So I gave that a 4.6 and you gave it a 4.4. That was a pretty high-rated episode.
Yeah, it was good.
Because the different, dynamics with all of the different teams, that was really great. Then we have Ben Franklin.
Ben Franklin
was one of the better episodes of this entire season. So, Phyllis and Bob are getting married. Bob Vance Refrigeration. They're getting married, and Michael is throwing a men's shower down in the warehouse for Bob. They hire a stripper, but, separate but equal comes into play, as Todd Packer says.
Yeah.
And so the women have to get a stripper. Well, Jim hires a Scholastic
speaker.
Yeah.
Dressed as Ben Franklin, who does it like all kayfabe, like in
character. Oh, yeah. Like what is that chocolate? That is only a delicacy in the Amazon.
Yeah.
And so he ends up hitting on Pam. This entire episode is fantastic. Michael gets a lap dance from a stripper. Jan, he feels bad that he's cheating on Jan.
Yeah.
Like, this whole thing was just fantastic. And then at the end, Michael says, like, Ben Franklin was kind of a scumbag.
Yeah, he was.
It was just fantastic. I gave it a 4.7. You gave it a 5.0.
Yeah, it deserved the full Monty on that
You
one.
Did. So then we go to Phyllis's wedding, which I fucking love this episode.
It was good.
It's one of my favorites. I gave it a 5.0. Michael was in the wedding. She got 6 weeks of honeymoon.
That's something we should touch on. Oscar from Gay Witch Hunt got like 3 months off. And they really like wrote it in for 3 months. Phyllis got like, she had never disappeared from the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like the honeymoon, like the continuity, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Phyllis should have been gone for like 8 episodes.
Well, we don't know if her honeymoon started when she, like some people delay their honeymoon.
It's going to be between the seasons.
Yeah. Oh, you're back to filming. Yeah, exactly. I just got back from my honeymoon.
Yeah, exactly.
But a lot happened in that episode. Roy and Pam got back together.
Yeah.
Jim was really happy to be with Karen. Karen gave us a wonderful karaoke rendition of Everything She Does Is Magic.
Yeah.
Everything nothing she does is magic. Kevin and Scrantonicity played at the wedding. Phyllis's uncle got lost because he has Alzheimer's. Dwight was the fucking bouncer. Like, everything that happened in this episode was just awesome.
It was funny.
I gave it a 5-0. You gave it a 4-0.
Yeah, it wasn't that great.
I loved it.
It was funny, but not
I
that
loved
great.
It. Then we have business school, where Michael goes as a guest speaker to one of Ryan's classes. He finds out that Ryan was talking shit on Dunder Mifflin because he gave an honest business-like opinion on the future of the paper industry.
That the model is obsolete.
Yeah.
And Michael took it very personally because business, it's not just business, it's personal.
Yeah.
Business is the most personal thing in the world.
There is, yeah. I gave that a 4.4. You gave it a 4.3. At the end of that episode, to punish Ryan, he moves Ryan's desk to the annex with Kelly.
Yes.
Because good managers don't fire people. They hire and inspire people. I love that quote.
That's like the stripper's rhyming advice to him.
Yeah, secret secrets are no fun. Secret secrets hurt someone. So anyway, now the next two episodes I was on vacation for, Cocktails and The Negotiation.
They're good.
If I recall correctly, Cocktails is everybody goes out for drinks at the end.
No.
Roy is there, and his brother destroys the party.
Yeah, that's right. They leave early because Jim, Dwight, Karen, Michael, and Jan go to a cocktail party at David Wallace's house.
Yes.
Yes.
I did not rate that, obviously. You gave it a 4.5. Yeah. I don't have Oz's scores.
I think he gave that one a 3.3.
Wow.
He was rough. He wasn't bullish on those two episodes.
Wow, that's rough. I mean, for Roy and his brother.
Actually,
Kenny
no, that
alone,
one, that one, I think he gave like a 3.9. He gave the next one, he gave a 3.3.
The Negotiation, again, recalling from memory, even though I've seen it 12 times, Michael asked for a raise after Daryl sees his pay stub. And
because Daryl wants a raise.
Yeah. And Daryl, Toby, and Michael drive to New York, and Jan kind of fixes the negotiation.
Yeah, to get Michael a raise.
Yeah, because she's dating him.
Yeah, and like that's pretty much the crux of it. And Roy tries to assault Jim.
Oh, yeah. Roy comes in at the end of Cocktails. He goes, I'm going to kill Jim Halpert.
Because he found Jim, because Pam told him.
That they kissed.
That they kissed at casino night.
Yeah.
And Roy, who has turned his life around this entire season
and
has got back with Pam and really loves her and he wants a second chance. He finds out that she lied to him and kind of kept it from him.
Yeah.
And even, like, it's the one thing that she told him the truth and he blew up because she did hide it from him. Even after they broke up, she didn't tell him about it.
Yeah.
So he said, I'm going to kill Jim Halpert. And the beginning of the negotiation is when he attacks him.
Oh, okay.
Dwight maces him.
Yep.
And Roy is pretty much off the show.
Yeah. Basically. So,
yeah.
And that's why Daryl wants a raise, because he's picking up the slack for Roy's job.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you gave that one, The Negotiation, a 4.0.
Yeah, it was solid.
And again, I don't have Oz's scoring.
Yeah, I think that one was a 3.3. There was one he didn't like, and I think that was it.
Okay. And then we round out the last five episodes of the season, Safety Training, which I think both you and I...
We had diverging opinions on that, didn't we?
We did. But I was a 3.9, you were a 2.8.
I hated that episode. I fucking hated it. Oh my god. The only funny thing was the castle.
Yeah.
And, like, I just hated that show.
Since it was so recent, I don't think we need to rehash these last ones as in detail. Then there's Product Recall, which, amazing.
Yeah, hilarious.
That was a great episode.
Wait, what did we give? What did we,
you
didn't give the scores.
A 3.9 and a 2.8 for Safety Training.
Product Recall,
we both gave it 4.4s.
Yeah.
Women's Appreciation, which we recapped at the beginning of this episode, I gave 4.7, you gave 4.9. Beach Games, I gave 4.6. You gave the full Monty 5.0.
I gave three of those out this season.
It's kind of crazy. And then today's episodes, 4.3 and a 4.5 from you.
Huh.
So we also did an average.
Yeah.
Now, because I wasn't here for two episodes, I divided mine by 21 instead of 23. But I came out with a 4.1 for the season 3 overall, and you came out with a 4.1 as well.
Yeah.
I mean, 4.08, but we're rounding here. So I think we were pretty succinct, even though we had differing opinions on some. You know, we liked one more than the other, and then it kind of played into itself.
I like the fact that Like, you could, I don't know how to describe this. I feel like a lot of the points that are shaved off of the season are because of the Stanford stuff. That is stuff that I took a lot of, for those early episodes, I docked a lot of points off because it was just Jim sitting there, Andy being annoying from time to time, and Jim making looks at the camera, and Karen sitting behind him giving him googly eyes.
Yeah,
that was the entire fucking Stanford 7-episode arc.
Because if you look at the scores, like, the coup, grief counseling, initiation, those are all 3.2 and under.
Yeah.
And those are the lowest scores I gave except for the return.
Oh, the return. Yeah,
that was terrible.
Well, you know, and talking
we
about
went
that,
far in depth.
Talking
in
about
that
the
one.
Return, let's go back because we were talking about stuff like that at the end of the episode, the job that we just did. What do you like the writing of this series?
It was too condensed.
Do you think it was? Okay, because that was like that's my main issue with this show. I don't have a problem with so much with the characters. I have a problem with the way they just, like, accelerate through things.
Because here's the problem is, like, I know, and this is probably counterintuitive, but we bitch when, oh my god, the episode was so long. But if they had taken the extra time, like, from the first 20 minutes of this episode and added it on to something like The Return and made it a part one and a part two, would have been so much better.
Yeah, I feel like they just... They had so many ideas for so many of the characters that just splintered off sometimes. And because we talked about some episodes where, like, not coherent. Or they had parts that just didn't go with others. Like the one, the product recall a few weeks ago. When the episode's going great and it's going fine. And then there's just this hostage video of Michael
at the end.
And it's like, what the fuck is this? This serves no purpose. It's stupid.
Yeah.
And, like, The Return. That was one where they built it up perfectly. We talked about the build-up. The entire build-up with Andy going in and sabotaging him and Angela wanting to get back at Andy, which we don't see for the rest of the season except when he's in the sumo suit in the water. We don't see Angela, like, in the job, when Dwight tells her he's going to be product manager, does she go, goodbye, Andy Bernard?
Yeah.
No, because she wanted to murder fucking Andy.
Yeah.
And it's like, that was just dropped. And, like, things
like that's
that.
What I mean. Like,
it's, like, splintered. It's, like, not coherent.
We could have done a Return Part 1 where, okay, they welcome back Oscar, and then you have the dynamics between Andy and Angela.
Yeah.
Part 2, we bring back Dwight, and it's, like, a part of the plot with Angela versus Andy.
And we talked at the beginning of that one. The cold open was Dwight going to 4, I think, job interviews before he ends up at Staples. That is an entire episode where you're doing this.
Seeing Dwight Schrute doing that? Yeah. Oh, my God. That would have been hilarious.
That's your entire B storyline for an episode, is you do the shit in the office, whatever the main story was that episode. I forget what it was.
Oscar returning. And his
Oscar, oh, yeah, the burrow. Like, that could be the A storyline. The B storyline is Dwight going around Scranton and Wilkes-Barre and, like, doing job interviews. Like, like I said before, I feel like they build these things up. They built up the... with Dwight stabbing Michael in the back with the coup, and then the way Andy kind of turns that around. But then the climax is 20 minutes of the next episode. It's over. It's over. Like, Michael gets annoyed with Andy so quickly that it's just like he goes running back to Dwight. I feel like that stuff, you don't have to invest 5 episodes into it, but, like, an extra one won't hurt. Like, and I feel like they just rush through the tying up the loose ends and that. They build it up so perfectly, but I'm always dissatisfied with the storyline conclusions or the arcs, you know what I mean? And that's my main gripe with this show. I like the characters. I think it's crisp. I think some episodes fly by.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, that was great pacing. And then there's ones like maybe it's not their fault because it's Netflix just adding on deleted scenes.
Yeah.
Those are slugs. I'm not going to shit on that. But, like, I just feel like they don't pace everything properly. And that's pretty much my main gripe with it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I mean, you look at these, where there's so many fours. There's so many fours.
Exactly.
Like, we give it great grades.
Like, The Convict. Yeah. Flew By. Gay Witch Hunt. Fucking amazing. Ben Franklin. Mm-hmm. Goddamn amazing. Well,
and that was another thing, is the missed opportunities. The Hannah getting fired off camera.
Yeah.
Jim, like, we don't see Jim and Karen break up. I don't know if we do in the next episode.
Well, that's the cliffhanger.
Is it? I guess. Well, no. The cliffhanger is Jim and Pam going on a date. You forget about Karen. Because when he was driving back, there's nobody in the car with
him. But that's what I mean. Like,
they don't
show
what
happened to Karen.
Yeah. If it's disappointing, if we get to the next episode and it's like, well, Karen moved away, I'm going to fucking freak out. Because that's one that you build up this entire season from Stanford to now. And, like, all the shit she's put up with Jim really being into Pam but dragging this poor girl along, you want to see a blow up. Hannah being a complete bitch to everyone in the office.
Oh, that was such a missed opportunity.
And wanting to stab Michael in the neck. Like, show us. That is what we want to see. You build it up so perfectly. This character has a reason to act a certain way and you don't show it?
Yeah.
Like, fuck me. Like, I feel like that is where I feel betrayed by the show. It's like they set you up and then they kick you in the nuts sometimes. It's Lucy holding the football. You know, like, I'm Charlie Brown. I just fall on my ass. Like, why did I even expect that? Because they're not going to give it to me. But they spent so much time building it up and making you think that's where it's going to go. It's just kind of an empty feel. It's like biting into a spoonful of pudding and you think it's going to be like banana fucking like tapioca.
I was going to say, I love butterscotch is good.
Vanilla. But like something that you don't want, something that doesn't have taste. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very bland.
That's the annoying part about this series so far. It's like kind of a gripe of mine. Because
I get it.
And that, and like, I think Jim's written in a way that is not really... paints him in a good light. He's supposed to be the viewer in this series, I feel like. Like, Jim is supposed... because he's the guy who makes the eyes at the camera. He's, like, the normal guy who... The faces you make or what you would make are the ones he's doing. He's your avatar in the series. But I feel like he's written to be kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
In a lot of these instances. And that's, like... when it comes to characters, that would be my main one. That and the Michael being pretty much a mentally handicapped individual at times. Like,
God.
Am I wrong? Because, we touched upon that. And, I mean, it got a little better this...
snow angels and foam peanuts.
Smashed the warehouse. Like, it got a little better this season, but not, like, to the point where you're like...
Well, he's never
he's
going
getting
to be
a corporate job interview.
He's never going to be a fully functioning human.
Adult.
Yeah.
He's adult. A human. But, like... him getting a job interview with corporate, like, they even view him that way. Like,
they even said, though, they were going to be interviewing a bunch of branch managers, and we met the other branch managers, Craigers.
I'd like to wish Craigers got the job, but I mean, Ryan, I'm curious to see where that goes.
We'll see.
I have vague recollections of it. I think it involves cocaine, but I may be wrong.
See.
What do you want to add on? Because I just went off on a soapbox.
No, that's fine. I mean, I really did enjoy this season. Were there misses? Absolutely. But no series is going to have a great season.
Obviously, there's going to be
with
duds.
All five.
We talked about that in the beginning. That there's going to be duds.
But I have to say, I'm very much looking forward to season 4. This is one of my favorite seasons.
How many episodes?
I think
you said there's only 10
episodes?
There's
only 14 episodes in this season.
All right.
But it's jam-packed.
All right.
I'm very excited.
That's all I ask for.
And next season... go ahead.
Does it get better? Like, the writing? Like, we're talking about that. Do you even recall that? Because you said this is the first time you've watched the series critically.
Yeah.
So, like, if I ask you, like, is it... do they leave you hanging as much as this past season? Because this past season was great. Like, overall, like, top to bottom, I was entertained almost every week coming in.
We're going to be
it.
Entertained.
But are they going to leave you hanging? Is there going to be a moment like when Hannah got fired off screen or something like that where you're just like, fuck?
I don't remember that in depth.
Okay. Well, that's why I'm asking.
Every episode. Okay. I don't remember that in depth of every episode. But we will be are you not entertained?
I'll be entertained. All right.
But next season. Next season.
Next season.
Next week, we are covering opening of season 4, episode 1 and 2, Fun Run and Dunder Mifflin Infinity.
Okay, I have no recollection by the title of that second one.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, I do remember one thing, and it's the reason I used to wear Band-Aids and I'd go running. Yeah, I do recall that one. So I guess we'll do that next week, so that's
it's
the end of this
be
one.
A fun one. It's going to be a fun... I think it's going to be a fun few weeks for us.
What would you give a grade? Would you stick with your aggregate grade for season 3, a 4.1 overall?
Yeah.
Because, I'd probably stick with that,
like
too.
Like I said, I think there were some misses. There were. Some missed opportunities, but overall,
great.
It was a great. It was a good season. It was entertaining. There were a lot of laughs, a lot of character development.
Awesome.
I'm very excited to see how we mark season 4.
I'm jacked, bro. All right. So we'll get to it next week, and we'll catch you all later. If you feel so inclined, please email the show at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter. Reach out at brosispodcast. We look forward to hearing from you. And if you want to share the show around, by all means, please, we would greatly appreciate it.
Please do. Share us with your friends. I think we're funny.
We're funny and we know what we're talking about.
Exactly.
We put so many man hours into these episodes.
We really do.
Oh, good God. Too much time. Too much ink. Too much time. But until next time, everybody, we'll catch you later.
Thanks, guys.